We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Doing updates here for years, as Hollywood normally is our update guy. I've never had on my screen just refresh the way it just did in the middle of me. So maybe that was a little internet fluke there or not, but that didn't make my update great. So there you go. But the Marlins did lose last night. They have another one, like I said, in St. Louis tonight. And those buyouts and opt-ins in the NBA are all starting, like we just talked about, Kyrie Irving and John Wall. The two biggest names in the last day or two to come up with the NBA stuff. It is truly amazing that guys can get bought out, get their $47 million, and go sign a $5 or $6 million deal, double dip with another team. And that looks like what John Wall is going to end up happening with the Clippers. He'll probably end up signing like a one-year $5.8 million or $6.5 million deal with the LA Clippers. And you're right, because you said it in the first hour, Brian Monroe sitting in for Joe Rose. The Clippers now, after Kawhi Leonard took the entire season off, Paul George, I think at the end of the season, just kind of shut it down. They will be one of the favorites in the West.
They will be.
Because everyone's coming back and ready for this team again. So there you go with your NBA irony. The Clippers, who just kind of were a team last year, nothing too big, close to the playoffs at certain times, but not really. Then they were in, then they're out, then they're in, then they're out. And now they'll be the favorites, or one of them, in the West.
You know, they'll be one of the favorites. And if you look at it, not comparing the two, but it's kind of similar with the Warriors when Steph and Klay went down. Then you had Jordan Poole get a lot of experience. Same thing with Mann in the Clippers and stepped up and had some 30-point games. Now you have that experience coming off the bench. He's not a young pup anymore out of Florida State. And if you can get Kawhi being Kawhi, Paul George to stay healthy, and then you get another John Wall-type talent coming off the bench in rotation as well. Again, biggest thing when we talk about ability and anything in sports is availability.
That's right. Yep.
And we don't know anything with those teams because so many of their players have been injured. But if they can stay healthy, then it makes the West that much more fun when it comes to playoff
time. Yeah, of course. And, yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing also in the Western Conference, because you look at the Clippers, and I was just looking back, and they were one of the play-in teams. They were one of the teams that just barely got to the point where you might be in the playoffs. They're going to be better. The Lakers didn't even make it into the play-in, so they're going to be better also, or you think they're going to be better at that point. So, yeah, the West is pretty deep also. New Orleans getting Zion back. Like
the Nuggets get Jamal Murray.
Right, the Nuggets. How about the Nuggets last year? One of the better stories that no one talks about, that their number two guy didn't play at all.
At all.
And they were the sixth seed in the West. Yeah. So they're going to obviously be better, or they should be better.
And Michael Porter Jr. comes back, right?
Right. Yeah. Porter Jr. be back fully healthy, too. So that Denver team should be better. The Utah story will be interesting, because if Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert gets moved, they're not a five seed anymore in the Western Conference. They're
I just can't
down.
See them working out. It just seems like there's too much.
They hate
much
each other. Come
right.
on,
they hate
with
each
all
other.
This talk.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, like.
You gave me COVID.
Right.
It's still amazing how that one story, you look back on it, and that was the first time we ever shut down a sports thing when he touched all the speakers.
I was sitting in Orlando for a mini vacation with my wife and my kid to Disney World. And we were in Orlando in the hotel. This is when like it was like, ooh, COVID is kind of, there's this coronavirus moving around. It wasn't even like COVID. It was still just the coronavirus. Coronavirus moving around. There were like signs on all the doors in the hotel. Like, please make sure to, there's if you need extra this or that, just let us know. If you want people to come in the room to clean it, let us know. Or that. It was just the beginning. And I'm sitting there, and I remember my wife going, listen, let's not go out to dinner. Just go out and grab something and bring it back, and we'll put Matthew to sleep, my kid to sleep, and we'll just have a little dinner here in the room. Okay, fine. I come back to the room. There's basketball on. And I'm watching the game. And that was the game where, like, Mark Cuban got, like, the news on his phone. And he's, like, looking around. That was, like, that famous little, like, viral video where he's looking around going, what do you mean? Like, we're done? And then they show the Rudy Gobert. I think I watched it live.
Live.
where he's like touching all the mics and saying all that stuff.
Right. And you're like,
and I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's so
big,
stupid.
Eiffel Tower.
Right. 7 foot dude touching all the mics. He's bigger than the whole table. And then I just remember waking up the next morning in the hotel and there's a new sign on the door that says, if you are going to Disney World or Universal Studios, today might be the last day. I'm like, what do you mean today might be the last? This was on Saturday morning when we woke up. Sunday, the park's closed. For Jeez. Good. Like, I was there. I was literally in Orlando while this all happened. And I'm just like, what do you mean they're not going to close the parks?
As much money they're going to lose? There's no way.
Is there like something on TV that says everyone's got this corona? Like, this is when no one. Nobody like, you kind of believed it, but you didn't believe it. Because no, you probably knew no one that had it at that time. I'm like, what do you mean? This is so stupid. Like, and my wife, we're worried about my kids. That's one thing. And then all of a sudden, my wife starts getting phone calls from all her friends back here, because my wife works in this building also. Yeah. Hey, there's like a meat shortage. There's no paper towels or toilet paper left at any of the Costco's.
Those nut jobs. Who steals toilet paper? Come on, bro. And I
orders. That was a lot of Scott's tissue there.
Yeah. Right. I'm just like, I said to my wife, I'm like, what do you mean there's no meat and like toilet paper? Like, what the hell are people doing down in South Florida? So my wife freaked out and goes, we're leaving. Like, we're going home. We got to figure this whole thing out. Okay, let's get in the car and go. There's a Publix right there, like off the highway. That she goes, let's stop at the Publix. My wife literally wanted to buy a cooler and buy all the meat at this Publix because she was so nervous. And I just said to her, I go, let's be honest. I'm like, there's some toilet paper here. We might be able to double up our money if we buy some toilet paper from here. The guy, like, as we're like checking out, the guy's going, like, the manager to like these 10 rows of people checking out. You cannot buy more than one set of toilet paper. This is how it all started.
Yeah.
So the Rudy Gobert thing to me literally starts up COVID-19.
It starts up for
He's
me
a catalyst
every
of the video that started the coronavirus here, you know?
I literally remember going to some of the most unique areas in Miami just to get toilet paper because someone's like, yo, bro, they got some in the hood over here if you want to grab some.
Right.
I'm like, bet. Heading over. Let's go. I need some.
It paid to have a Costco membership or a Sam's Club membership in the beginning of all that. Yep. And I just remember coming home. We literally drove home, dropped my kid off. I think my mom came to the house. She took Matthew. And then Ashley, while all our stuff is still in the car, still have bags and like the kid's raft for like the pool is all. She goes, we should dump everything in the garage real quick and head over to Costco. Get her to Costco. And there's a line outside the door to get in.
A zoo.
What are all these people in line for? Just to get in. Then there's signs everywhere. No more than one thing of water. No more than one thing of toilet paper. We only have one pallet left of like the wipes, like the Clorox wipes. And they're checking people's carts. Like, no, you have two things of toilet paper, put one back.
Well, because you got those a-holes that hoard everything and like triple the value and stuff. I remember the one guy that found all his alcohol wipes in his storage container and took them off. I'm like, good. Like, this is the problem that we have all these prices gouging and everything because you got guys like you like, oh, every single toilet paper, I'm taking it all.
That guy.
I wish I would have seen somebody like that in Publix.
Oh, I know.
I would
people
love to go viral
for
whooping somebody.
There was people in Costco, not only in the line to get into Costco, but in the back where they do have, like, the toilet paper and the paper towels and stuff like that. There was another line back there with a dude on the forklift with the pallet. Who dropped the pallet of toilet paper and he's handing you one, go.
Leave.
One, go. And it's one per membership. So it's not like, hey, Ash, you check out with, you know, the one paper towel, I'll check out with the other one. Nope. We see on your account that you've already checked out in this 24-hour period with toilet paper. You cannot buy another one. Like, this is what was going. I literally thought that I woke up in the Twilight Zone after the Rudy Gobert video and the next 72 hours past that with people buying every bit of meat and chicken they could find, every bit of paper goods they could find, and then all of a sudden everyone's out.
I mean, look, I told everyone, I don't know why you're freaking out about some toilet paper. Do you still got running water?
Right,
Jump in the shower, bro. You good.
How about the fact that, like, we kind of know down here what it's like not to have running water when, like, the hurricanes hit and electricity and stuff like that? Yeah, people around the country didn't realize
we were prepared.
We were kind of ready for it.
It's almost like we prepared for a hurricane. We got the people that freak out and try to kill everything at
That's
first.
That's it, right.
And then you got to go in and you're like, yo, bro, you leave me this basic canned foods and everything else. And
I felt bad, like my, and then my, then all of a sudden they started having like the senior hours.
Oh man!
So like I would like call my dad and I'm like, Dad, did you buy paper towels yesterday? He's like, yeah, I got paper towels, you know, a couple at Big Lots. I think I drove by Big Lots and found some. Like people were searching. Like it didn't matter wherever you could find. If there were bodegas down here,
listen, there was corner
people
store,
in bodegas.
There was corner stores I was driving up to. I was like, yo, where is it off of? I'm down. Just let
$5 for a roll of toilet paper.
We good.
Gouging. Just gouging. But it all comes back to Rudy Gobert. Right. Like we'll always remember in the history books of history books of history books.
Him wiping the mics.
He wiped the mics. He had COVID and it started and then the world shut down.
It literally shut down, right. Which was the craziest. I still can't believe what we've been through the last couple of years.
Right.
Where we're literally like, and I remember, you know, we were working here and I was doing the show with Amber at the time and they were like, hey, you know, this is probably going to be the last show, but we'll call you guys. The next thing you know, crickets the whole time.
Oh, we got a call, all right.
Right.
Yeah, you got a call. Gotta call. You got a call, all right. Hey, y'all, by the way, we don't need y'all no more. Y'all right.
Due
home.
To hey, this COVID.
Some people got that call and then other people got the call of, hey, we're not going back to the building anymore. Go to Best Buy or go to one of these places and buy a mic.
And buy this.
Here's a website, and we're going to start to do the radio from there. And I was like, okay, like, hey, we'll do what we have to do. And then I'm thinking to myself, I bought the mic. I spent the $60 or $70 on the mic, whatever it was. Because you have to do, you got to work. You're either working or you're let go. And listen, we have three people on the show. Three of us have three different stories about what happened during that with those phone calls. And then I look. And I'm kind of just like preparing for that the show because for like 3 days we went just national radio.
Yeah.
Like no one was working. We didn't know what to do. We were trying to plan out. People were getting canned. Like there was all kinds of stuff going on. And then I called up Joe and Hollywood and I was like, bro, there's no more sports.
Yeah, what are you going to talk about?
There's no more sports. Tiger King.
No, y'all did not talk about Tiger King.
2 weeks. For the first 2 weeks after that until we figured stuff out, like Joe, we would have conversations post-show like, make sure you watch the next couple episodes.
Tiger King?
We were talking about Tiger King, Netflix documentaries. What do we do?
I mean, the show's that's cool with. You know what's so funny? I think people talking about Tiger King so much at the beginning of it.
Oh, that's what gave it so
turned
much.
Turned me off of it that yeah. I never watched it.
Dude, there was a lot of things that was being talked about.
Yeah.
Heavy.
There right. was. That, but was that, like, was, that was the show of
right.
the coronavirus.
Right.
Literally Tiger King.
I think
King.
Of Rudy Gobert. I think of Tiger King. And what was the name of the Jordan documentary?
Oh yeah, I mean, listen.
The last dance came.
Everybody could have.
But it was every week.
Regardless. That was happening regardless.
No, it was
like
happening regardless.
6 months into it, or like a no,
no, no.
Into it.
That was happening regardless.
It was coming. Yeah. out.
That was coming out
right.
in June. We already knew that was coming out, so we were
excited. We were like fiends, though. For
right. right. But you said right. June, right? Okay, so the country shut down in March.
March.
So we went April and May
with no playoffs.
With no playoffs in either sport. Both sports shut down. Baseball not knowing what they're going to do because remember they started and then did a 60-game season. The Marlins made the playoffs that year, which was weird. Then we had the bubble.
Yep.
All of a sudden the bubble came out of nowhere, and it was like, all right, we're going to have all these teams in the playoffs now. We're going to have an 8-game kind of wrap-up. And remember, it was like the Phoenix Suns went 8-0 and still didn't make the playoffs
make it,
that
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it was just so much like craziness going on. And that was our world. Like, our world, we were talking about everything. I remember we're kind of going back in time to do this, but it all goes back to Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
But the last dance, I remember having the conversations with Hollywood and Joe. Like, dude, I don't care if that thing comes out at 10 o'clock at night. You got to watch it. That's all we got to talk about for the next 2 days.
Everybody watched
that. I know.
Well, I mean, come on, man.
You had to. That was the only
Mike.
Sports.
It was.
But that was the only sports you had.
It was great, though.
It was great.
Right.
It was
right.
Mike. It was during, well, during, it's always during the Michael LeBron
debate.
Yeah, right.
So therefore, if the season went regular, we would have been talking about it because the Lakers would have been in the conference finals.
Right.
It still would have happened. Now, would it be the only thing that people are talking about like it was in June of 2020?
No, probably not. Right.
Nah. We would have had,
but we were fiending
about.
For something.
For something.
Sports like,
and it was
for anything. And then think about it. And then what sports happen? The Heat make the bubble and go to the finals. The Marlins make the playoffs. Like, are you
Marlins
like,
make the playoffs?
The Marlins, remember in that 60 game season, they made the playoffs. They beat the Cubs in like round one of
the
playoffs.
First time
they
made
right?
The playoffs
they
in
made the playoffs.
They made that playoffs in the COVID year, in the COVID bubble baseball season. Right.
The Panthers made Didn't they play?
I don't even remember what happened with the Panthers.
Once the other teams are doing well, the
Panthers
played
the Lightning. That's when the rivalry started. They played the Lightning,
you're right.
In the bubble.
I think they did. You're right. Okay, so there you go. So all of our teams all of a sudden were playoff contenders.
All we need is a global pandemic.
And you know what
we're
the
good.
NFL was going back and thinking? We just need to get to the season because we're going to play 17 weeks. We're going to have replacement players, but we're going on as normal.
And they got Brady.
Right. And then, right. It's just amazing. I mean, listen, it's revisionist history. We're going back. We're kind of reminiscing a little bit. But we go back to the one initial topic. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell hate each other.
Rudy Gobert.
And it all started with him wiping the mics.
And that's why they hate him.
Well,
you started this, Rudy.
Right. Rudy started everything.
Here we are.
Rudy.
Right. Somebody texted in, Rudy Gobert is the unofficial patient zero for COVID.
He is.
I agree.
He is. 100%.
Right.
100%.
Someone said, I own a food distribution franchise. When the pandemic hit, I was making $5,000 a week for 4 months. Grocery stores are crazy. Yeah. I believe it.
I mean,
you can order online and this guy will deliver it to your house?
I was there. I did that.
I think we all did. I mean, we had to do it because there was one point where you really couldn't leave. You know, you're quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, you would get arrested or pulled over if you left your place.
Hollywood had a Homeland Security badge to drive to work to run the board for us in the mornings.
What?
He had like one of those, like, if you get pulled over, show
this. Yeah.
You're an essential worker.
Yeah.
I would have said I'm a diplomat.
I think one of the funniest things is when they were like, oh, essential. And I think we only get really shut down in Miami for like 2 months or something.
Right.
They were like, essential liquor stores. I'm like, you damn right it is.
Damn right.
Let's go. They're like, what are you guys doing on the road? We're picking up essentials, baby. Mm-hmm. What else? Crown, tequila, vodka, everything.
So far, everything you just said was essential.
It was essential to me. Right. Needed that.
Wow. All right. That was a history lesson here early in the 7 o'clock hour. Let's talk some football coming up. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network is going to join us for the next 40 minutes or so. We'll get him on the phone. We'll talk to him about everything. There is plenty to talk about in the NFL right now. And then Malik Rozier is going to join us at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With Adam Beasley. Let's talk some football. And there's some off-the-field football stuff that we need to go into also. We're going to bring on our buddy Adam Beasley, NFL director from Pro Football Network, here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Bees, we were just talking, and I don't know, it came up because we're talking about what the Heat or Donovan Mitchell and then Rudy Gobert, and then all of a sudden somebody texts in, Rudy Gobert is like the Project X. He's the guy for COVID-19 that everything kind of looked like it started at that point. It is truly amazing. That was only about 2 years ago. Yet we're still living in this world of craziness at this point. And that's why we're bringing on Adam Beasley to talk some football and get us out of this whole mess here. Adam, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. I do not want to go down that rabbit hole.
We did. It just happened. Like, I don't know how it happened, but it happened all of a sudden. And we did like 18 minutes of
I'll take the blame on that.
Where were you? What were you doing? How did you find out? Anyways, let's talk about other stuff here. Adam, we have a lot going on in the NFL off the off-the-field stuff. Deshaun Watson, we'll start with that. I know that the hearing, I guess, starts today, the NFL hearing where the NFLPA, the NFL, and Deshaun Watson are now going to figure out what the deal is with Deshaun. What's the latest you're hearing, and what do you think is going to end up happening with Deshaun Watson going forward from this day?
Yeah, I think the end game here, Zach, is a very lengthy suspension, perhaps the entire 2022 season. And there are a lot of reasons why that's the case. The evidence against Deshaun is very strong, even without a criminal charge. 24 and maybe even up to 30 accusers potentially now, we hear, all telling the same story. The body of evidence is pretty compelling. And the NFL has suspended people for far longer than, 3, 4, 5 games for far less than has been accused. So I think what we're seeing now is just the maneuvering it takes to get to that end point. You're right, there is a hearing today where, basically short of Deshaun being completely cleared, there's going to be a suspension. I think there's going to be a very long one. And I think you're going to hear about it, if not by the end of the week, certainly the next couple of weeks.
So, Adam, I had a question. So I was reading something about this contract. Now, I know they set up this contract where he has all this guaranteed money, but the first year it's only, you know, minimum money just in case he does get suspended. And someone was saying that it might wipe itself out and carry over to the next year where he loses a big portion of that contract. If he gets suspended for the season, does it just say, hey, he loses the minimum of this year and that big-time money kicks in next year? Or is it something where now that he gets suspended, he'll lose a big chunk of that money?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things at play here. If he's suspended for an entire season, I believe his contract tolls, which means, you know, whatever the terms of his contract in 2022 are, it'll be the terms, I believe, his contract in 2023. The Browns don't lose a year of his service because of the suspension. I believe that's how... Certainly, it's how it's worked when players, you know, have PED suspensions or they have, you know, they retire and they come back. It's not like the, you know, the contract just moves forward a year. But I think we're kind of missing the point when we discuss this a bit because the NFL still has the right to fine. And so, yeah, he might only lose the minimum for a suspension. But if the league decides to levy a $10, $15, $20 million fine, which, you know, isn't out of the realm of possibility, that has nothing to do with how many games he's suspended and how many games he's able to play. So there's going to be a financial cost involved here. It's not just, oh, okay, you're going to set out the season and the money that we can find, you know, spare change in your couch is all it's going to cost you. I would be very surprised if the league, in addition to a suspension, doesn't levy some sort of fine.
Have we ever seen a fine that big for a player in the past for an off-the-field issue? I mean, I can't.
No, and certainly this is a very unique case. But, yeah, I mean, and I think that's all part of what's being discussed behind closed doors right now. You know, certainly the league would prefer Deshaun acquiescing to a certain length of time and a certain dollar amount because if they can reach agreement on the punishment, it ends, and there's no appeal, and there's no – because, look, there's – I think, Zach, you and I have talked about this before, and part of the reason that Dan Snyder has the longevity that he has is because these owners don't want a bunch of dirty laundry coming to light.
Right, right.
And I think with a Deshaun a suspension, an indefinite suspension that I think the league is pushing for, Deshaun's going to step back and say, whoa, what about Dan Snyder? What about Robert Kraft? What about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, for lack of a better term, Peeping Tom scandal where, you know, their PR director was accused of kind of spying on female employees. Jeez. I mean, there are a lot of questionable things that have gone on in the National Football League on an ownership level. And a lot of that stuff just kind of gets swept under the rug because, you know, the league's going to protect the league and the owners are going to protect the owners. And Deshaun's going to be like his argument from understand. And again, I am not the foremost expert on this. Aaron Wilson, you know, a guy on our staff has done a great job covering this story. He would know better than me. But my understanding is that's the case that Deshaun's people are going to raise is that there is a total double standard between how the league punishes misbehavior by players and how the league punishes misbehavior by ownership. And I think part of the league's motivation of getting this buttoned up is they absolutely do not want, you know, a long discovery period about what else has gone wrong in the National Football League. There's just so much in their plate right now.
Yeah, a lot going on. And that story, by the way, in Cleveland, it's still going on because there's other aspects of the story, too. What about Baker Mayfield? I mean, we haven't really, you know, brought him up in conversation lately because Deshaun Watson is the hot topic and this and that. But he's just kind of sitting there. He's going to make his $18 million one way or another this year, whether it's for the Browns or for another team. But, man, don't you think if the Browns would have thought, or maybe they just didn't care when they did sign Deshaun Watson, that they could be facing this lengthy suspension, maybe we should be halfway friendly with Baker Mayfield? You know, like, I mean, listen, you saw it up close and personal. Me and Brian, every Dolphin fan saw it. Jacoby Brissett's okay if you need him in for a couple plays, but I can't imagine the Browns are going to be really excited about putting him out there for possibly the entire season as their starting quarterback with a team that's pretty good. I mean, take out the, you know, look at the rest of the roster. They have a pretty good roster, and they have a roster that probably can make the playoffs, but not with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, you make a perfect point. you know, the Browns as currently constructed with Deshaun Watson as a 17-game starter versus Jacoby Brissett as a 17-game starter has to be a difference of 4 or 5, maybe even 6 wins.
Right.
I mean, that's how drastic of a difference it would be. But all that being said, I mean, Baker's not the loyal soldier type of guy, right? He's
right.
not the guy who's going to shut up and do his duty and suffer in silence. It's just not in his DNA. He's not wired that way. So, you know, when they made the decision to move forward with Deshaun, even knowing the possibility that, hey, this dude might not play in 2022, they had to have known the irreparable damage it was going to do with Baker Mayfield. They had to have known it. And they would have had to have known he was going to try to force his way out of there. Now, all that being said, he doesn't have all that much leverage. I mean, his leverage really is, when it gets down to it, the size of his contract and, you know, his, you know, the concern the Browns might have of him detonating a locker room, right? I mean, that's the only thing, that's the only, you know, threat that he could potentially make is that he's just so toxic in that locker room that it's a failed season either way. So it would be dumb of Baker to go down that road because he still wants to have a future in the NFL, and already he's damaged good. We've seen teams won't even give up a 7th-round pick for that
crazy
contract. So, like, so if he goes that route and is, you know, quote-unquote cancer in the locker room, who's going to pony up to pay him next year? So that's, you know, looking at the long game, I agree with you, Baker would be wise if it gets to that for him to play. But I just don't – I mean, explain to me how that's going to work, Zach.
Right.
How,
I don't know.
How a guy of that makeup, you know, mental makeup, is going to come back and play for a team that basically told him just go pound sand and, we're not going to trade you potentially to the team we want. You know, we're going to do what's right for us. So Baker's like, all right, I'll do what's right for me.
Right, and I think you take Brian Monroe's kind of pep talk that he gave me earlier this morning when we were talking about Baker. You go in there, you take this team that's built for the playoffs, you get to the playoffs, you make a little bit of a run if you can. I'm not saying a Super Bowl run. That's a little bit, you know, whatever. But if you get to the playoffs, you have a great season, you're a free agent after that, and then boom, Deshaun Watson's coming back for the Browns, so they don't care if you leave and walk, and then you just try to get yourself another big deal. But you're right. I agree with Brian. That's the right way to look at it. But I also agree with you. I don't see Baker Mayfield going, yeah, I'm going to be a good soldier, come back, everything is fine with the Browns, no big deal, you know, water off my back, let me just play quarterback for your team. I think both sides are a little stubborn in this, but I think Baker, at the end of the day, is hurting himself more than the Browns are hurting their team.
I was going to say, it has nothing to do with being a soldier. You're a grown-ass man. You're getting paid $18 million to do a job while people out there can't even get a job.
Yep.
Like, suck it up, get the $18 million, ball because you want to ball because you're a player, and then go get your money in free agency. Like, what are you going to do, cry in the corner? Go shoot some more State Farm commercials?
Right.
I never get that. It's not about – there's no bigger picture. If you want to be selfish, great. Be selfish. Show them what they're missing. And then go win, because we all play the sport to win, and then go get your money in free agency. Like, it makes –
It sounds
so
right, but I think Adam's more right. Just the fact that it's Baker Mayfield.
It is Baker.
He's
that's
a different. He's got a different makeup.
Oh.
That's it. I know.
Yeah, and part of what made him so, you know, such a threat at Oklahoma and really good. Let's not kid ourselves. He was really good 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Was this kind of FU attitude, right? I mean, that's sort of planting his flag in the middle in midfield and all that. I mean, that's kind of what fuels him, and so to. You know, for lack of a better word, to kind of, you know, emasculate him a little bit, it's just not going to fly with the guy. So I completely agree with you. And what's kind of localized this a little bit, if Baker Mayfield had Tua's mindset, he would play for the Browns this year.
Right.
I mean, that's what it would be. But you could argue, well, that's kind of what Tua has lacked a little bit, is that, you know, that killer instinct, so to speak. And Baker, for, you know, for all of his certainly – you know, massive mechanical issues, and certainly he's got some health concerns going on as well. He's not afraid, and he's not going to play that way. So, yeah, in a perfect world where these guys are just robots, and you say, okay, plug this out into this scenario, certainly it's the best plan for the Browns in 2022.
Yep.
It's a lot more complex than that.
You know, I also bring this up, too, because we just went down memory lane with the COVID year, but his only good year was the COVID year when there was no fans screaming at him. And it was like having a practice on the field. I'm telling you, it makes a difference.
Right.
Look at the bubble guys who in the NBA stepped up when no one's around. Look at the NFL who played well when there's no fans around. And that's Baker Mayfield. All of a sudden the fans come back and guess what? You crumble.
Yeah, and again, we don't know what last year would have looked like if his shoulder didn't detonate.
Right.
You know, he should not have been on the field. And honestly, I think Stefanski deserves a little bit of heat for playing him, for allowing him to be on the field, because, you know, certainly there was always the risk the injury would get worse. But also, what really happened, the real concern is pre-existing mechanical shortcomings got exacerbated. I mean, his throwing motion has gotten so much worse. And part of that is because of the injury he's had. And so he really needed an entire offseason spent with his coaching staff as a healthy quarterback to fix those issues. He's done neither. He hasn't been healthy. Still obviously coming back from shoulder surgery. And B, he's had no outside coaching aside from whoever his private tutor is. So the idea that maybe this is the comeback season for Baker – stretches the credulity, I guess, a little bit, because he just, none of the things he needs to get better has happened in the last 6 months.
All right, let me get one more in here before we go to break. Adam Beasley is going to stick around with us for a little while here. Houston enabled Watson now in the lawsuit and all that. How much trouble is Houston, or can potentially Houston, the team, the franchise, the owner, whoever else in that might have had something to do with this? How much trouble can that Houston team be in right now that they're kind of a defendant in this lawsuit?
Yeah, that to me is the most kind of interesting part of all this. We've known for a while that the general basis of the complaints and the arguments against Deshaun and the accusations and all that, this is kind of a new dynamic. And you're going to have to, if you're the accuser's camp, and if you're a plaintiff's attorney, you're going to have to, Tony Busby, you're going to have to prove that not only did the Texans set up these massages, which I don't think anyone's going to argue that they occurred, but they were aware of his behavior. And that's the next hurdle that they're going to have to clear, that not only were they trying to, because remember, I mean, when all this was happening, they were trying to keep Deshaun happy. They gave him that brand new contract, but even still, I mean, it was clear that there was some friction internally between him and ownership. They wanted their star quarterback to feel like this was a place he wanted to be. But it's a huge leap from saying they cater to the guy to they turn a blind eye to sexual misconduct, right? I believe that's the case they're going to have to make, is that not only did they acquiesce to his requests, which I'm pretty sure they did. They let him use the space and all that. But then they knew what was going on behind those closed doors and did nothing about it. And I think that's a tough sell.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting kind of scenario with that Houston team when they were kind of thrown into the mix. All right, Adam Beasley with us from Pro Football Network. We'll let him go get another cup of coffee real quick, maybe change a diaper or two if he needs to, and we'll bring him right back.
My son's way too old for diapers. Are you talking about me?
I wasn't talking about your kid.
I no longer have those problems.
Talking about the adult diapers. I know your kids don't wear diapers anymore. Go change your diaper and come back right after this. Adam Beasley going to join us from Pro Football Network for one more segment here. We'll take a break. That's Brian Monroe. Vlad's here as well. This is the Joe Rose Show. We're back right after this. All right, back here on the Joe Rose Show. Joe Rose out, Hollywood out. Brian Monroe is here with me. Vlad in the back. Adam Beasley, NFL director from Pro Football Network, joining us for one more segment here. We got into a lot of like the kind of serious stuff for the NFL in the first segment with Adam. I wanted to ask you this because I told Brian I was going to ask you this earlier today. Kind of a fun question, but an interesting one. Aaron Rodgers lost Devontae Adams, his number one wide receiver. Pat Mahomes lost, obviously, Tyreek Hill in a trade. They both picked up some other receivers, but obviously not to the gist of having one of those number one guys. And Russell Wilson left TJ Lockett and DK Metcalf and has pretty good receivers in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and those guys out there. But if you had to look into the Adam Beasley Pro Football Network magic ball, which guy do you think takes the biggest drop from those three this year, stat-wise, losing the guys they did and maybe going on with some new guys?
Oh, well, yeah, I think you left out the number one on that list, and that's Ryan Tannehill losing AJ Brown.
Ooh, okay. You know what? I didn't even think about that. Okay, so you could add him to the equation too. Would that be your answer at that point?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I'm pretty sure Mahomes can ball out with or without Tyreek Hill. I mean, right. Tyreek's a big piece of that offense. But Patrick Mahomes is a special talent. It's not like Tyreek Holmes. I mean, Tyreek Hill carried, you know, Mahomes like that.
Right,
so,
right.
But you look at Tannehill, and certainly when those receivers were out last year, I mean, he kind of went into a shell. And their play-action game went into the toilet, to be honest, because they just didn't have the weapons they needed outside. And I think you could make an argument that all those quarterbacks that, you know, were in the playoffs last year, well, certainly the divisional round, the playoffs, and Tannehill's made the Pro Bowl with the Titans. I mean, I think his was as much scheme and talent around him dependent as any quarterback in the National Football League. So,
yes.
You know, certainly they've made some, you know, additions in the draft and all that, and, you know, it's not like they're totally talent bereft. But you look at that roster, and is, you know, Wood's going to be enough to carry that offense, because he's going to need someone to be that type of guy. And, you know, certainly the Titans have thought about life after Ryan Tannehill. They went out and drafted Malik Willis in the third round, and I think, you know, the word is they had made it, you know, made an attempt to go even bigger for a quarterback, and it just didn't pan out. You know, I think we're looking at the last year, you know, very high likely the last year of Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback at Tennessee Titans, and the personnel around him is going to be a big reason why.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Ryan Tannehill's a bum. But moving on.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Listen, we're
Monroe.
My question is going to be a little bit more fun, and it's going to be football related, but not football related. So we know a lot of celebrities are making a lot of money off of these fights and, you know, these boxing things. And the newest one that we see that might be potentially happen is Adrian Peterson versus Le'Veon Bell. First question, who you got in the fight? Second question, if you had to pick any football player to bet on in a fight or a boxing match, who would it be?
Jeez, you guys are really hitting me hard in the morning. All right, so, I mean, Adrian Peterson is going to wipe the floor with Le'Veon Bell, correct?
Right. You would think so.
You would think, right.
Yeah, I mean, how are they even in the same weight class? I mean, I feel like
there's no weight classes when the celebrities. That's
right.
Nate Robinson that.
Right.
Understood, but it's like, still, there's got to be some parity there. I mean, it's like, he's like three times the size of him, isn't he? And you know, anyone who's ever, I've never done this, but personally, but I've heard anyone who's ever shook the hand of Adrian Peterson isn't the same afterwards. Like, they need to go get an X-ray after that.
I have shook his hand, and that I can confirm that story.
Right.
He's just so powerful that I don't know what Le'Veon's thinking here. As far as your broader question, I mean, I know Zach and I had a back and forth on Twitter last week about potential players, MMA player, you know, potential players would be in, you know, UFC, and, you know, how they would translate to Ultimate Fighting and all that. You know, the name we had number one on the list, and I think pretty obviously, was Aaron Donald. I mean, him in the octagon would just be frightening.
Rip a dude's head off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would imagine his handwork is so elite that even, you know, it would translate to boxing too. So, yeah, seeing him as a heavyweight, I mean, you look at him, he takes his shirt off, and there's just not an ounce of fat on the dude. And he's, you know, he is a solid, solid 290. And as I mentioned, his athleticism and his quickness and, you know, his handwork, he could be devastating in a boxing ring.
You know, it's funny. Everyone always asks that question to football players, like, you know, who's a teammate, who's a guy that you would want in a dark alley to be your fight? And it's funny, I always bring up one name, and people are like, really? And I'm like, yeah, the dude's a dog, and whoop, you know, is Steve Smith from the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
That is a guy that if I'm in a fight, I want him on my side.
Right, I get it. And that, like Adam said, we were talking about it on Twitter last week about MMA fighting, and I said I would pay good money to see Richie Incognito jump into an MMA octagon with somebody, because you better have like 9 refs. Like, ready to go.
But see, the thing with me with MMA is different, right? Because there's more technicality to it, like the ground game. Like, I just want to see two guys just going out and fighting.
Just box it
just
out.
Just throwing hands.
Right.
That's all I want to see, throwing hands. Because it's a different game. Obviously, you could see what happened with Frank Gore and, you know, Williams and all that.
Right.
Frankie was gassed, and we know what kind of a guy he is training-wise. Like, fighting is a different beast.
Oh, no. I totally get that. By the way, fighting. How about fighting for a contract? I got to ask you this. What's up with Lamar Jackson? Like, how does this guy – I mean, me and Joe talk about it, I think, at, like, nauseam, you know, on the show here. How does he not have a deal done already?
That was a smooth professional.
You like that?
By the way.
Speaking of fighting for a contract, right?
That was just velvet. I mean, it was incredible. I don't know. I mean, you've asked me this a bunch, and every time my answer is the same. Is
right.
that you look at it on the surface, and of course, both sides would want to get this deal done. But Lamar's a different guy, man.
Yeah.
And he's represented by his mom, and he doesn't have the best sometimes. Maturity and judgment, and some of the, you know, and he's not a bad guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he's kind of like a knucklehead at times. And so you wonder if he's ever going to grow out of that, and the maturity is going to come around, and he's going to get, you know, get counsel that's not members of his immediate family that might suit him better. And the question is, do the Ravens, you know, want to give him, and I think it's going to come down to this, do they want to give him the kind of guaranteed money? I mean, the Deshaun deal was bonkers, particularly with, you know, as we talked about, all the legal issues hanging over his head.
Right, right.
But just from a, you know, an injury, you know, protection standpoint, giving that much guaranteed money to any player in the National Football League with a hard salary cap and, you know, and all that is dicey. And I, you know, that's kind of the new standard now for these quarterbacks, is they're going to be like, well, you know, if Deshaun, with all that's going on with him, can get, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars guaranteed, why can't I? And, you know, certainly there are, you know, I think Lamar gets a bad rap sometimes for his throwing, but he's not the best passer. Let's be clear, he's not one of the
right.
best pocket passers in the National Football League.
Right.
And his value is all the things he does, not just throwing, but running and all that. And you wonder, you know, the longevity of someone who plays that style of football. But certainly, if you give him a five-year deal, you expect him to be able to play out that 5 years. So I think more of it is, I mean, look, if you're the Ravens at this point, and I think we've talked about this before, what's your motivation at this point now to get that deal done, assuming you don't think Lamar is going to try to force his way out if they tag him, because they have the franchise tag, and that
right.
franchise tag is a fair amount of leverage from an organization standpoint, because, I don't know, he's making somewhere in the ballpark of $20 million this year, I think, under the fifth-year option, maybe a little less. I can't remember the exact number, but it's in that neighborhood. And then if they tag him the next 2 years after that, that's maybe an additional $100 million in salary. So $120 million over 3 years for starting quarterback of that level is not a bad situation. And the Ravens could go on a year-to-year basis then. And if things don't work out, they could move on without, you know, any dead money and really zero consequences. So, yeah, I think Lamar would have more of an incentive to go to the table and get this done. And maybe they're having talks now behind closed doors, and because the summertime is often when these deals did get done. The Josh Allen deal got done right before the start of training camp, or maybe the start of training camp. I can't remember if it was July or August, but it was in the dead of the summer when it got done last year. Potentially, maybe, you know, those things pick up again. But again, and when you're representing yourself, there's money that's going to be left on the table, and there are mistakes are going to be made. And that's why these players that think that they're empowering themselves by representing themselves, I think is a mistake, because they're not professionals in that world. And there are certain shortcomings you have, I have, all of us have in the world of business, and we're wise to have people around us who are smarter than us trying to get it done. So I think all those things are a factor, and it's kind of wild that it's gotten to this point. And you know, here's a guy that won the MVP and is a multiple Pro Bowler, and when he's healthy, is one of the most dynamic players in the league. I think we kind of got, you should give him a mulligan for how he looked last year because of all the injuries involved. But the fact that he's going into his final year without a long-term deal, I think is something that few people saw coming.
Yep, yeah, I definitely didn't see that one coming. Adam, as always, we appreciate it. Now go on vacation. I know this is your last thing you had to do before you were going on vacation. We appreciate it.
I do love coming on the summer times. You're doing, you know, traffic and weather.
Right.
You know, we've got different people calling my house at all hours in the morning.
Right.
It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, you know what? We like to mix it up here during the summertime here on WQAM. That's what we do here. Beasley, you're the best. Have a good vacation. We'll talk to you soon. We come back,
right.
And there's football. How about that?
Training camp in like 4 weeks, guys.
Ooh-wee. There you go.
Adam Beasley, NFL Director for Pro Football Network, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Always good talking to Adam there. We also have Malik Rozier coming up here at the top of the hour, so we'll talk with him about everything that went on at Legends Camp and everything going on in this guy's life. A lot going on in the background here. I'm excited to get into all that with him coming up here at the 8 o'clock, at the top of the 8 o'clock hour here coming up. Let's take a break. Brian Monroe in here for Joe Rose. Vlad in the back. I am Zach. I'm here just about every day. And that's what happens here on WQAM. We'll be back with the 8 o'clock hour right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.